Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top Chef for Hop Up. I'm Haley Strong. I'm here to talk snicks and snacks today. Not alone. Kurt Clark, hey.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm great. What are you up to these days?
I just got done with a week of pet sitting and house sitting, so I'm finally back in my own abode, which is always, always nice.
Who house sat your house when you were house sitting?
I have nothing. Well, the house can take care of itself. I have no pets that need to be taken care of. So I did stop by every so often just to make sure that, you know, I was giving the thermostat some TLC, you know, just kind of caressing the kitchen counters. But it was it's pretty self-sustaining.
That's what I like to hear. We're not alone today. No, Latanya is not with us. We wish her to feel better. We love you, Latanya. We miss you always. But we have a really special guest here today, and I'm thrilled. We have, you know what? We didn't plan this. We planned it, but we didn't like totally plan it to match up so perfectly. We have our own excellent woman from Houston here. Asia Welch, welcome. Welcome to the Top Chef Wrap Up.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so glad that this is my first season of Top Chef, which kind of blows my mind. Like, I'm no stranger to cooking shows. Like, I've seen almost every season of MasterChef, Hell's Kitchen. If my TV's not on HGTV, it's on the Food Network. So I don't know where I've been. I think Bravo is just my blind spot, when it comes to shows. So yeah. That's probably why I've never caught on. But I have friends that watch Top Chef, and they've always talked so highly about it. So, oh my gosh, boy, do I have, like, I knew everything that, like, I was just blown away.
I'm so excited. This is a show that I just assumed you watched. I don't know. It just seems like a perfect Asia show, right? Bullied you into watching this season. Every week I bullied you. It was like, watch this show. Right. It's in Houston. You have to watch. You have to talk to me about it. I bullied you into doing this, and I'm so sorry.
I'm so glad you did, because I was so happy to watch. Because I binged it, and I was like, over the past week, and then I was like, why is there no more? And I'm like, oh, obviously, because it comes on week to week. But I obviously can go back and start from the beginning and just see all the greatness over the years. But oh my gosh. I mean, okay, for starters. So they did that challenge at the Post a few episodes back, the Post Houston, where they did the Asian night market.
Open air building, the top
yes.
of the
okay. So it used to be a post office. And they had their grand opening like in November. So they were actually there before it officially opened to the public.
Oh, cool.
So they transformed it from this post office to like a food hall. And it's so cool. Like, there are just so many like vendors, or like there are so many restaurants, you know, food hall style. And then once you go up to the rooftop, you see like the whole Houston skyline. And it's literally like 5 minutes from me. I could run there. And then the blind goat, which we do see this episode, that's at Bravery Food. That's what is it called? Bravery Food Chef Hall. It's another food hall that's not too far from me. And I've eaten there. I had like the chicken fried rice, but I'm sure they have much better food. I mean, the chicken fried rice was good, but there's more things that can impress you.
I'm so thrilled you're here to give us all of these like Houston hot tips about like what we've been seeing, like giving us context. I love it.
Yes. And then you had Lucille's. I've been there a few times. Because who is it? What's his name? Chris. Is it Chris? The owner of Lucille's. So I've been to that restaurant. They have a great brunch. I haven't been for brunch yet, but I've been for dinner and it's delicious. And then they go to Whole Foods for all their shopping trips. I always go to Whole Foods. And then J Bar M that they went to last episode, I've eaten there too. It's not far from me, like 5 minutes from my house.
So this is just
blows
like
my mind.
I know that place. I know that place.
Like, exactly. I want to say like for the Chicago season, I was living in LA, and for the LA season, California seasons, I was living in Chicago. So I've never had that moment of like, I'm going to go like I think when Chicago was airing, I wasn't that familiar with the different places to eat. So I hadn't been to a lot of the places. But I kind of now it's like I'm like living vicariously through you that like these are all great places that you either know of or you know that you want to go there.
Right, right. I mean, I'm just like, I'm in Wonderland right now with reality TV because I'm also podcasting about The Ultimatum. And that
I can't wait to watch it.
Yes, it's so good. It's so bad, but so good. But they're in Austin and I went to college in Austin. So 4 years of my life, four formative years of my life were in Austin and they're going to places I know and it just blows my mind. So
this is just a really, it's just like an Asia journey right now.
Right.
It's just like, but you're enjoying the season. Like you are like, you're going to keep watching this.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, yeah. This is definitely not a one and done. Like, okay, the podcast is behind me, so won't look back. No, I'm invested.
Good. I'm so thrilled to hear that.
I can't wait for your first Restaurant Wars.
Oh, it makes me anxious. Yeah. So this is a fun episode. It was also, I was really emotional. Maybe I cried a little bit. I mean, that's typical fare for me in Top Chef, though, honestly. But in the quickfire, I thought this was a great quickfire. In Paris, create a salty and sweet dish. We saw Nene and Kelsey from Top Chef Kentucky, two of my favorites. I was thrilled to see them. They're actually known. They were known that season for their dessert. So I love that they had to make desserts. And I love a salty and sweet dessert. So I was really excited to see what they were going to make.
When the chefs were told, hey, each of you on this side is going to pick a sweet ingredient, and each of you is going to pick a salty ingredient, like I knew immediately that they were going to have to work in pairs.
Yeah.
And I was like, why did you, and not poached pairs, not Asian pairs, but although one of them was going to have to do that. But like, like if I had been there, and I don't, the one time I'll pat myself on the back is I would have immediately joined up with someone's like, okay, let's figure out what you're going to pick, what I'm going to, because it looks like they got to choose partners because
Monique and Damar chose each other.
Yeah. I was on the lookout for that, especially because I was been listening to your podcast. I said, now I'm on the lookout and I was catching every little glance.
Every fleeting moment.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted Nick and his pork rinds. But it's like, I would have like immediately been like, okay, let me not just choose this in a vacuum. Let me coordinate with some, or at least see what somebody else is picking and choose something that I think will go well with that, even if it's not a spoken thing between us. But I didn't know it was going to be a Talenti sorbet sponsored challenge. I did kind of call that they were going to have to work in pairs.
Do y'all like Talenti?
I've never tried it. I don't think it exists here.
Oh, is it Texas based?
No, it's in Michigan.
Okay, okay.
It just maybe hasn't crossed like the border. Hasn't gone through Windsor into Canada.
Gotcha. It's amazing. I love the mango flavor and the raspberry flavor. So if anyone's ever seen it in a grocery store and you're contemplating, because it's a little bit pricey for just like a tub of ice cream, get it because it's worth a try.
I believe because they were around for the last season as well. And I think when whatever, can't remember what role they played there, but I remember getting a pint or two, whatever the size is, a jar or two of the Talenti last season. And I literally just was at the grocery store an hour ago. And I was thinking when I was watching this yesterday, when I go on Sunday to the grocery store, I'm going to check out the Talenti options. And I completely forgot. So there we go.
I had Christina reach out to me. She's also a Texas native. And she said, she wishes it was a Bluebell ice cream challenge because Bluebell is such like a big staple in Texas.
Yes. Bluebell is like, when you think ice cream, it's kind of like when people think about like tissue paper, but they say Kleenex. Like that's kind of where Kleenex is a brand, but there are other brands.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, of like napkins. But people say, or like when you say Google something, you mean you want to just search it. But when you think ice cream, I naturally think Bluebell. And then I'm just like, oh, okay, not Bluebell. Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
What's your favorite kind of Bluebell?
Oh, banana pudding.
Ooh. So
it comes, it's like a banana and vanilla ice cream. And then it also has vanilla wafers in it.
Ooh.
Oh, it's, I mean, so many calories, but I would take down a pint in college. Like, just like, oh, let me go get some banana pudding.
Ooh, that sounds outstanding.
Bluebell produces over 250 different frozen products and 66 are flavors of ice cream. Mm-hmm. What the what?
Yeah.
I was looking online to see what the flavors were so that I could weigh in, but that's not going to be easy to track down. If I find it, I'll weigh in. But love me some ice cream.
There's always a limited amount of options in the grocery store. So like the main, which I'm kind of, well, I guess I'm not surprised. This is Top Chef, why they're doing all of their shopping at Whole Foods.
They always like, have.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like their sponsor.
Gotcha. Okay. That totally makes sense. Cause I'm like a sheltered Texas mindset. Cause born in Dallas, went to college in Austin and now live in Houston. So like anything I think, I'm like, oh, that's just Texas. But yeah, so Whole Foods is everywhere. Okay, cool to know. Because we, our main grocery store is HEB. So like HEB is going to have like way more brands or way more flavors of Bluebell. But you have to like go to like random gas stations in between cities to find like an abundance of flavors to get these unique ones.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love just like going through every gas station in Texas to find like the best Bluebell ice cream.
Right. Just try it out.
I'm looking at the what's the cookie two-step?
Mm, yeah, people like that one. See, my weak spot with food is, which on the Married at First Sight podcast, Jason and I talk about this a lot. And more so recently was that there's such thing as like a chicken finger man and a chicken finger woman. It's like when you go to a restaurant and there's like so many options, you get chicken fingers.
So oh, Jason, okay.
Yeah. Jason is a chicken finger man. Like, don't get...
Oh God, I worked at a restaurant for a long time. Like, I know.
Yes.
I've met these people.
Yes. So then we both agreed that we don't like certain things. Like, I don't like cheese or chocolate. And I was like, wait, am I a chicken finger woman? But I do, I'm branching out. Like,
I don't think you would be. I think you seem to be the type to just like try stuff.
Yeah, I can try a few things. It's just certain things that I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like chocolate is a hard no, but I can eat some like cream cheese or I branch out a little bit more with cheese lately. Like I eat pizza.
Okay. Okay. So you're not like just like vehemently against it, but right. You're not going to do what I do, which is just eat cheese off the brick.
Or like the conveyor belt. I sent a picture.
Yeah. From London. Kurt went to a cheese conveyor belt restaurant.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know where we're going with that statement. Sorry.
So they had to pair up to make these dishes for the quick fire. Jackson and Jay paired up. Jackson had pistachios. Jay had Asian pears. And they made a rosemary poached Asian pear with pistachio cookie, pistachio cream, and salted caram fraiche. Honestly, this is like my wheelhouse of dessert. I think I was talking a couple weeks ago that I really love salty and sweet, and I need them to like actually constantly be in balance. So all of these sounded delicious to me. And even Padma was like, you guys are doing well. Like there's no bottom in this challenge, which is great.
I made my first, there was a meal. One of my meal kits came through and I had got some brunch options in there. And one was kind of this thicker, it was almost like a oatmeal, but it was approached like you make it almost like more like a bread pudding, but there were poached pears in it as well. And so I actually poached my first pears a couple of weeks ago. Quite tasty. And then I kept the poached pear liquid as a element for some rum-based drinks.
I was gonna say that'd make like a great like margarita or something like that.
Yeah, I was leaning into the tiki side of things.
Of course. Or even like I love a mojito and I love throwing things in mojitos to make them more tiki-ish. If that's a thing.
It is. It is. Sure.
I guess question real quick about the, what is it? Last Chance Kitchen. Mm-hmm. So with Ashley coming back, is that usually the case where when there is a person come back, is it most likely one of the last two, or have y'all seen it where it could be someone who was eliminated early on?
Yeah. So I would say within the last four seasons, they've been starting to do a midway person, where before that, for the first like probably six seasons, they were doing like Last Chance Kitchen. It would be they would come back usually in the final four or five. So for the most part, it wasn't like early on people. And I would say for the most part here, you're usually seeing somebody who went out not that long ago. Yeah.
It's not usually a direct boomerang in terms of last one out, first one back. It's usually within, I think, the last two to three people.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention. Thank you, Asia, for helping us do our job correctly. Last Chance Kitchen competitor came back. Welcome back, Ashley. Yeah, she left and came back immediately. And her and Nick were paired up with the ginger snaps and pork rinds. They made a ginger snap bundt cake with lemon ice, salted molasses, buttermilk, and brown butter, pork rind, mulberry crumble. And honestly, Nick was looking around the kitchen being like, I have these pork rinds, I've made a decision. Where I think that was probably one of the best decisions, because I immediately went like, make like a granola or a crumble or something. You can easily do that, or like melt it down and make a caramel, like a pork rind caramel or something. I felt like it was fun and fairly easy. I don't know.
Pork rind mulberry crumble.
Yeah, says, like you're telling me that's all. More wild than what I thought of. I don't know. But I would order this. I love ginger desserts.
Oh yeah, I love bundt cake. But I don't like pork rinds, but this looked appealing. So I was like, I bet it like was a good balance. Because have you ever been to this place called Nothing Bundt Cakes?
I was just going to ask them if they have them in Texas.
Yes, yeah. We do. We have it everywhere. But we have at least I have at least two that are in driving distance that I pick between whichever has less traffic. But you can either get like a regular bundt cake size, which is like, you can probably eat it in one serving if you're really hungry, or maybe two different sittings. Then they have like 8-inch size, 10-inch. And then they also have buntinis, which are like really small, maybe like a 3 inches wide. I don't know, even know how many inches. But like I just ordered 36 last weekend for my for my birthday party.
Nice.
Because I was like, what should I do for dessert? Should I get a cake? Then I'm like, people have to cut. And that just feels like, oh, that feels tedious. So I was like, I get buntinis. Yeah, they were amazing.
That's a perfect dessert.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a long time. There's one that's like, I was just checking, it's like 10 miles from me. But it's been, and it's in this stretch of West Michigan or Grand Rapids where there's just a ton of retail and restaurants and stuff. I was just there yesterday. I need to stop by there next time, because it's been ages, but it's good. It's great stuff.
Usually you're giving Kurt like a full list of things that he needs to pick up.
It's like, make your shopping list.
Talente, bundt cakes, put them together.
I'm good. Oh my gosh. I can't even. That would be absolutely delicious. But yeah, the bundt cakes have like a cream cheese frosting. And the ones I got were lemon, and then they have a monthly one right now that's strawberries and cream. Mm-hmm. And then I also got red velvet.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. I love a lemon cake. Oh, I love anything lemon.
Yes.
Joe had Marcona almonds and Evelyn had peaches. Together, they made a salted almond buñuelos with candied peaches and basil cream. This was stunning.
I was worried that kind of heated metal rod thing wasn't going to work out for them, but I'm glad it did in the end.
Me too. I'm really glad it did. We do actually kind of have something similar here. It's a local delicacy called a Crystal Beach sugar waffle. The town, couple towns over, used to be like an amusement park, and they would sell these Crystal Beach sugar waffles, and they're like so crispy, and oh, I love them with powdered sugar. Ooh, you know what? I'm gonna have to buy some of these. Okay, I'm starting my shopping list now. Yes.
I should have waited to go shopping and like to have lunch until after we met, because then this is giving me so much more, like many more ideas right now.
Yeah,
it's hard to wait to eat though.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I know it's I know it's like we've been seeing their friendship blossom throughout the season, Joe and Evelyn. But after the last challenge that they were partnered up, I was kind of surprised they just like went back to each other.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
I would have been a little nervous. Like maybe we're great friends, but just maybe we, you know, our styles don't mesh.
Yeah. But I'm glad they did. And they were in the top. Damar and Monique. Ooh, they paired together again. Damar had sweet corn and Monique had pepitas, and they made cornbread with corn ice cream, pumpkin seed, and Parmesan crumble with pumpkin curd. This feels like the most out of the box option, but it sounds delicious. How do you feel about a Parmesan crumble?
Yeah, no, I would. It's so funny because me and my my roommate, we do HelloFresh, and anytime there's a dish that we want to pick that has like a Parmesan element, I'm like, okay, you're gonna have to do that separate. Because either we completely leave it out or we'll make the meal in like two pieces so that she could put Parmesan on her side.
That's if there's anything I make from HelloFresh that's spicy and I happen to be, you know, cooking it for like if I'm making dinner for my mom, let's say she doesn't like, you can keep the spice off until the end. Whereas the ingredient I do that with in HelloFresh is the ginger. Any like any Asian dish that requires like the kind of the dicing or the chopping of the ginger, not a big raw ginger fan, so I tend to just like skip that. I double up on the garlic and ignore the ginger.
Even if it's like in the rice, like you have to put it
Yeah, it's just not a flavor I'm enamored with.
Gotcha. Fair.
Buddha had honeycomb and Luke had miso. They had a miso cake crumble with miso honey ice cream and miso honey caramel with miso and honey leaf. Wow, they really like went to town with their ingredients.
It's almost like they combined the miso. They basically like made an ingredient called miso honey and then used that. And then that ingredient was like peppered throughout because it didn't seem like maybe the miso cake was a little bit more leaning into just the miso solo, but it seemed like there was just a lot of like wherever there was miso, there was honey.
Yeah.
I mean, good on them. So the winners here were Ashley and Nick, and they both ended up with immunity for the elimination challenge, which was kind of a surprise that we had a double immunity with a final, what is this, 10 at this point?
And good for Ashley for kind of forcing things to the point where she's not immediately kind of back at Last Chance Kitchen again.
Yeah, because I feel like without this immunity, she might have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, although I know that it just feels like Monique's been like
not
on a downward trend. Yeah. So I don't know if that was the case, but
then it's like, who do you send home first? The person who's already been sent home or the person who's just had kind of like the downward trajectory?
Yeah. They try to do it based on the dish at hand.
They're what have you done for me lately? Kind of people, which is nice. Well,
it seems like,
but it's one of those shows where it's like you get momentum and you keep doing well, or if you don't do so well, you kind of lose momentum. Yeah. So it does kind of work out like that, but it's very much not like you did badly last week, so you're paying for your mistakes today. It's very much like the dish in front of me.
Yeah.
I think based on some of the comments around the pork, and we can get to that, I think Ashley may have got home had she not had immunity.
Really? Because I thought it would have been Monique either way.
Okay.
But, you know, it's hard to tell in this alternate universe.
Right.
So the elimination challenge, create a tribute dish inspired by trailblazing women of Texas. And then the dinner was going to be with a bunch of really cool Texas ladies and Tom.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Our guest judge for this week is Tiffany Derry, who I was thrilled to see. I love Tiffany so much. I was so excited to see her. I hope we see her forever and always.
It's so funny because one of my friends came over yesterday just to visit, and I was watching episode 5. And so we saw the preview for this episode. She's like, oh my gosh, do you know who that is? I was like, no, you know, this is my first time watching. She's like, how do you not know Top Chef royalty?
I cannot wait for you to message me in a few weeks and be like, I've watched 7 seasons of Top Chef so far and I'm not stopping. I can't wait.
That is a real possibility.
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot going on right now, TV-wise. Right. But once that Big Brother season ends, I think we have you, hook, line, and sinker. So the five, so each trailblazing woman had 2 people with a dish. That makes sense. I feel like I didn't explain.
And when they do something like this, they'll treat it as a head-to-head almost. There's a top and a bottom in each round. It didn't seem like, and they weren't doing that explicitly this way. Obviously, they were going to be kind of comparing them head to head to some extent. But it wasn't a you five are safe, you five are in the bottom. So I actually kind of like that they didn't approach it that way.
I would agree because they would have felt, it would have felt, how do I even say this? Not wrong, but bad visually, bad, you know, to have.
Oh, the optics of it?
The optics of it to have this challenge celebrating women. And then so often women are pitted against each other. It's like, well, let's pit you against each other for these dishes. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So I'm glad they didn't go that direction. So the 5 women that they focused on were Selena, who is a singer, very famous, a Babe Diedrichsen Zaharias, who is an athlete, Bessie Coleman, who was an aviator, which is really freaking cool, Ann Richards and Barbara Jordan were both politicians in the Texas House of Representatives.
I think that Drunk History did something on Bessie Coleman, if I'm remembering correctly, because the having to go to France to get her aviator's license is turning some wheels. I'm remembering hearing that somewhere, but I think it was in the context of one of the Drunk History segments was kind of applauding her. So
yeah, I think I've done reports on Bessie Coleman back in the day, but I am terrible at history, so it's facts about things go in one ear and out the other. It's wild. But Selena, yes, she is royalty around here. My roommate found out I had never seen the Selena movie a couple years ago, and she's like, oh my, we have to watch it tonight. So I've seen the Selena movie now with Jennifer Lopez. So that was really cool seeing Suzette, her drummer, her sister.
That was really cool. I'm glad that they kind of got people who had connections to each of them.
Yes. That was amazing. Ann Richards' daughter, Cheryl Swoops. If you were talking to a 10-year-old Asia, I would be telling you, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to be in the WNBA. I was all into basketball. I had Cheryl Swoops' shoes. It was really cool to see Cheryl Swoops. Once I got to high school, I was like, okay, no, I'm 5'4". This basketball's not going to be a dream. Let me find a different route. it was just so cool. This challenge was amazing, just to see these women and learn more about them, because it wasn't just they were learning more about them. They were telling us facts about them too.
This was also like a tough challenge. Like we've seen, you know, create a dish or create a meal inspired by X many times before. Lots of times it's from like from a point in your life where something. And so I think this is, like, I'm glad that they gave them a little bit, like, it looked like they were able to, I don't know if they were scrolling the Wikipedia entries or what the files were that they could read up on it, on each person.
But oh, it was Google Books. Didn't you notice?
Oh, it was Google Books?
Yeah. I peeped that on the little tablet.
And so I'm glad they had like a little bit more kind of robust sort of information other than like the one, the tweet length blurb that they put on the screen for us at home. Although we got a little bit more of Luke's backstory. So I thought he was going to go home. So
me too.
He's yeah, dyslexic sure. And took him a little bit longer. I just really wanted like Selena's sister and Evelyn to become BFFs.
Yes.
I think they will become.
It's on the horizon. Yeah.
That's the one thing I want from this episode.
So Evelyn and Damar, they pulled Selena. Evelyn was thrilled. She loves Selena. She is a Mexican Salvadorian woman who lives in Texas. Like Selena was her idol.
Lucky was she to pull Selena?
Yeah. Right. I just love how passionate Evelyn gets. And she's been really lucky the last 2 weeks to have something that's not just like in her wheelhouse, but just like that she has such a like strong connection to. And I think she's one of those people who cooks better when she has a connection to something.
Yeah, it feels like she's had like a couple things fall nicely into her wheelhouse, which is just nice to see. She dressed as Selena for Halloween for 4 years, I think she was saying. That's just adorable.
I love her. She is just so the personality just comes through the screen. She's so talented. It's like, how could you not? Like every challenge, she knows every single person on the other side. She's so well connected in the Houston restaurant scene. So I was like, I have to find her restaurant. And what I see is that it pops up at different like food markets around the area. Yeah. It says restaurant coming soon, but currently like every weekend they're at a different place.
So yeah, she has a lot of pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that? Great. Well, you'll have to like seek her out and let us know.
Yeah.
What she is.
I'll take a pic.
So Evelyn ended up winning this challenge with her como la flor snapper with Asian pears, chives, avocado, orange zest, aguachile with chipotle chili olive oil. This was so stunning. I love that she made it like look like flowers. It was great. I'm a big fan.
I love that Cheryl Sweeps ate all of it.
Yeah. Even though there's like Cheryl, no, there's 9 more dishes. Yeah.
I think
please.
Yeah, like that was. I think it was Padma that gave it. Like, you better just pump the brakes a little bit. Slow down. There's more to come. And I think we saw a little bit of that with Matt Lucas, his first year as host on British Bake Off. Like he got like extremely ill, just eating as much as he could of every single dish that was presented to him. So pace yourself.
Damar made green pozole with tortillas, cabbage, radish, and cilantro. They quite liked this dish. It was not in the top or bottom, though. Who else was worried about Damar's tortillas?
I was.
I was very, very worried for my good friend Damar.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I could see how he like it was a really good dish, like they thoroughly enjoyed it, but they said I think the response was like, you know, you can see yourself eating this with family, it's comfort food, but that could apply to many people, like anyone who's family oriented. So I think they were looking more for that specific like tie to Selena.
Mm-hmm. I think the bigger error in this challenge was going to be food. It was like strike one is, you know, if there's just technical or decision mistakes that are made in your preparation of food. So like poor food composition / taste. And then I think next down was the like connection to the story. I think they were more likely to forgive a tenuous connection to the story of these women's lives than to a very egregious, overcooking something or under seasoning something.
Mm-hmm. Or cutting an oyster in half.
But I knew he wasn't going to be in the I knew he wasn't going to be in the top based on like that commentary, given that there was I think some others that were at least firing on both of those cylinders.
Yeah. cooking for Babe was Ashley and Jay. Ashley made candied pork with salt and vinegar potatoes, lettuce and herb yogurt, and Jay made a seafood gumbo with okra kimchi. This challenge really stood out for Jay, but I think with like Damar, I think Jay took that even farther, where she was more inspired by Leah Chase, mm-hmm. who she had worked with previously. And I thought this was a really beautiful story. And like Leah Chase obviously has such like a big impact in Southern cooking. She's also been on Top Chef a couple times. So it was kind of like lovely to hear that connection. And like the reason that Jay was able to stay in the United States was because Leah wrote her a letter for the immigration. So Jay made seafood gumbo with okra kimchi, which I thought was like a cool, I feel like it was a great dish, but maybe not totally fitting for this challenge.
And we had a couple instances of okra and not a single mention of the fact that Tom doesn't like okra.
I know. Are we finally past that?
Is that exactly? Is it finally accepted as okay? Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the things I learned. I was from my friend yesterday. She said two things, Indian food for Padma. And then, he doesn't like okra. It's like, oh, okay.
I'm so glad your friend was able to come give you these comments.
Right.
I did like Tom kind of like knew his place in this challenge. Like he's like, I'm just sitting here to listen to all of these women that are like much more accomplished, like in just to learn. So I liked that, that Tom was kind of, you know, taking the backseat here.
Yes, I would have to agree.
Except for the dad jokes.
I mean, you gotta have those. Yeah. What's Tom without a dad joke? They really didn't love Ashley's candied pork. They said that the whole plate was just vinegary. I also didn't think it was like the most beautifully composed dish. And I don't think like necessarily every dish needs to be beautifully composed in Top Chef. But I think in this challenge specifically, because it was like smaller, not smaller portions, but like you're not cooking for 150. It's not like a street food festival. It's like, it felt like a fine dining challenge. It was maybe not like the most pretty dish on earth.
And the pork was a little bit tough, it sounded like, too, as well. It was big and tough.
Ashley just needs to cut down her meats, just like a scooch.
Yeah, except as long as that meat isn't an oyster, you don't want to cut those in half. But and I was actually like the killed lettuces. I think the description on the screen was that it was like lettuce that was cooked with bacon until the lettuce wilted. That just sounds amazing. Just give me the bacon and the lettuce and I just see what that tastes like.
Just give me the bacon. I don't need the lettuce. I don't want like soft lettuce. It grosses me out. It's like when I leave it in the fridge too long and it gets all like squidgy underneath.
Squidgy? Stodgy?
Yeah. And I also like want to point out, we actually had some great conversations with Ashley and Joe. About some of the issues in Texas right now. And I think when it was announced that Top Chef was going to Houston, a lot of people were bringing up their not so stellar healthcare record when it comes to women. They're not so stellar record when it comes to the LGBTQ+ community. And I think hearing from Joe and Ashley talk about it and how it impacts them, hearing Joe say, because she's a Texas person too, saying like, hey, like I make more of an impact here than I would in a place where everyone thought the same as me. So I just really appreciated them acknowledging, the show acknowledging what the landscape is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because yeah, I think a lot of people, especially with a lot that goes on in Texas right now, they think we want to live in Texas because we are fine with everything that's happening. It's just like, oh, no, there is such a strong push for the next governor race and, you know, just trying to make change. So people that are here that disagree with a lot that's going on, like, we really want to make a change. And you can see that in certain pockets, especially in Houston, certain pockets. They even highlighted it. Like we have an area, like an intersection in this area called Montrose in Houston that has like the LGBT like rainbow colors along the crosswalk. And it's such like a iconic thing because it's just like, look, we are showing that we support this community in this area. So it's just like there's there is a ton of effort around. I'm very glad that Joe pointed that out, that, you know, people, there are plenty of people that are trying to make a change. And it's not just like, oh, if you live in Texas, you're cool with the policies that are going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that point where she was, you know, saying that, you know, if you want to make a difference, you need to, you can't be surrounded by like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Like those aren't the areas that need your impact. So, yeah, and I think we might have even seen that Montrose intersection that you're mentioned.
Yeah, I feel like it's in like the credits mm-hmm.
or the interstitials or something.
Yeah. I literally drive over it to drop my dog off at her daycare. So,
Buddha and Luke, they both had Bessie Coleman. Buddha made Poulet en Bessie, which is like a play on Poulet en Bessie, with Paris mash, sauce Robert, and corn with chicken mousse. I didn't think this was going to work. I thought this was going to be one of those ones where Buddha's just going like too. Also, the idea of poulet en vessie kind of is like not the most thrilling dish sound to me. What was it like? Chicken braised and like a liver or something wild? Or a heart? Or
sorry, yeah, in this round, I could not get past chicken fudge. So I was
yeah.
I was less focused on Buddha.
Well, I don't know. It's like Buddha was like making these little, like, he's like wrapping his little chicken breast in like plastic wrap and being like, I'm just like gonna, what's it called? Sous vide this. Like, that. And then it came out and I was like, it's just like a little like chicken log. Like, I don't want a chicken log.
Yeah. But, and then when they questioned the popcorn, I was like, oh no, that's not good. But they thoroughly enjoyed it.
They loved it. And then Luke made cured salmon with oyster emulsion and chicken fudge with chicken and rye breadcrumbs. So yeah, chicken fudge. I don't need that described that way.
Yeah, and apparently there wasn't enough of it.
Fair. Right.
So, you know, question all you want. The judges wanted more. Right.
But Buddha made a really beautiful plate. I would have liked a little more color. It was very much like
beige
with like a pop of like yellow from the corn. But I liked the way he cut the corn. I thought it was cool. I thought like the way he piped the potatoes was awesome.
Did he do the beet petals last week?
Yes,
he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's presentation guy. He can make it look amazing.
Yes, I do love what he does presentation wise. Yeah, Luke's, they just didn't love. I don't know, there just wasn't enough to it.
Yeah, and I wonder, because it seemed like they liked it. It was just like, oh, if we got more of this, it would have really done like volumes for the dish. So I'm like, was it just a matter of quantity or?
That's what it sounded like.
Hmm.
I don't think they thought it really meshed super well with Bessie mm-hmm. either.
That's true. Yeah, it was also like that. That was kind of two strikes against him.
Yeah, true.
It was
true.
The technical element of food and also the lack of connectivity to the
of
story.
Bessiness.
It's like mm-hmm. she went to Europe and I went to Europe, and here's what I learned in Europe. And I thought he was actually going to ding. I like they did call out that he was inspired. Inspired by her story to reflect on something in his own life, and I wasn't sure how that was going to go. And it seemed like they actually gave him kind of some kudos for that, but I think they wanted a little bit more. They said it was good that you did that, but mm-hmm. there was still kind of missing the Bessie element from this.
Yeah, and where our buddy Buddha had like a whole Bessie pun ready to rumble.
Was that like he also like the she flew in figure eights and so
exactly yeah like he really like tried to find as much connectivity as possible, which mm-hmm. was really cool. Nick and Joe both focused on Ann Richards. Nick made potato crusted red snapper with beet risotto, kale romesco, and mushroom potato. Those little mushroom potatoes,
they're adorable.
So cute.
And Tom looked like, yeah, they were cute.
Yeah.
he didn't seem impressed, but I think I can't remember if it was this dish or the next dish, but for Joe's dish, where Anne's daughter was, I think people were kind of like, oh, this is fine. And she was like, my mom would have loved this.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, don't talk down about this dish. This is exactly what my mom would have liked.
Yeah. And Joe made Gulf shrimp with coconut lime salsa verde, fresh corn polenta and salad. I think if there was a bottom four, our friend Joe would have maybe been involved in that. I thought Nick's dish looked really cool when he said potato and crust. So that's just not what I was envisioning. He like had like little potato chips on it. Oh, that sounds really cool. And a kale romesco. Mm-hmm. I don't love kale, but I love romesco. So I'd probably be into that.
Yeah, I really like that Joe, right, who mm-hmm. brought together the ingredients from the community.
No, that was
Monique did that.
Monique did that.
Oh, but Joe still like wanted to focus on like the Gulf shrimp aspect mm-hmm. of it and kind of take things that she knew and would have liked. And I think both Nick and Joe really nailed that aspect of it.
And the Thai spin on the, mm-hmm. the dishes that I like, it's like, this was the one where like you got a sense that the chefs had an idea of what food the person liked.
Yeah.
And Joe leaned into that. Like, oh, I learned that she liked an infusion of Thai flavors into some of her dishes. So I want to go in that route. So that was, I thought that was actually kind of a clever on Joe's part.
Mm-hmm.
Monique and Jackson had Barbara Jordan. Monique had fried oysters with assorted beans, pickled okra and pancetta bean broth. And I did really love her idea. She loved being like, this is where she was from. This is what they use in the area. She just didn't go far enough with any of it.
And it seemed like there was one decision that led to a chain reaction of
yes.
of impact. Like I think the fried oysters are too big, but by cutting them, they're potentially going to be ruined by the broth. And so I'm going to get less broth in the bowls. And then it just was this like snowball effect of like just they even heard Tom say, like, just give us the whole oyster. I mean, they're pretty easy to cut. I mean, the pork that was too big from Ashley was probably, you know, that can be oftentimes like you need to dig into it to cut it. But an oyster, it didn't sound like there was an issue with it being, you know, cooked problematically. It's just there were just several different elements that seemed to go wrong based on a chain reaction from a single decision.
Yeah. And it seems like one of the, What do you call them? I guess like the people that aren't actually judging, but they were eating the food.
Yes, they call them guests.
Yeah. Well, guests.
Okay. This one they did all. We've seen some.
They all had an opinion.
Yeah. And they turned the menu into a ballot and they had them all vote on which one was the winner. And then we've seen ones where like for the brisket one where they served a bunch of pitmasters. Like they didn't know the pitmasters didn't decide who the winner was. So this was one of the rare cases where the people at the table decide who the winner is. But I think the judging panel of four were the ones that decided who went home.
Gotcha. So with the guests, because, you know, there was a point where Monique realized that too much broth was making the fried oyster soggy. But did she realize that after already pouring the broth into one bowl? Because one of the guests was like,
oh, I got everyone's. I got a lot of broth. I'm having a great time.
I think that might've been it.
It's tough to lose Monique here. I love Monique. And then Jackson, he made tagliolini with chicken and offal ragu. Because Barbara Jordan had a lot of heart and guts, so he cooked with them.
I thought that was funny.
I love a pun. I love stuff like that. It makes me laugh.
And it didn't seem like he was just like pulling a reason out of his ass because he was like consulting his notebook while he was saying
all this.
which made it seem a little bit more official. Like, oh, he actually did think this through. Like, this is what he has written down, and this was his thought process. This wasn't something where he's just like making it up on the fly. It could have been, but there was also some. I think there was actually one point in this episode as well where somebody asked Jackson to taste something to see if it was too salty. And he's like, he tasted it. He goes, oh, you might want to get somebody else's opinion.
Yeah.
Because I think we're still, the jury is still out on whether or not it's public knowledge that Jackson's lack of taste buds we still don't know if everybody knows or not.
Right. Like, do the judges know?
I don't know.
My thought is that I think like aren't Padma and Tom like executive producers on the show? Or am I
so you think
that
they
up?
They may have been
I feel like they probably have at least maybe not a hand, but a finger on casting and would probably know that fact.
Right.
I wonder if that came up in casting or if he did or not until he.
Yeah, maybe it was like in between, in between he had already been cast for the show and before filming.
Like if I was a chef who wanted to get onto Top Chef, I don't think the route I would go is like my thing that gets me in.
I can't taste
anything.
Fair. I feel like I wonder if they have to. I mean, I'm assuming they have to go through medical, and he probably has to tell them, "Hey, I just had COVID."
Yeah,
and I wonder if they say, "Do you have any lingering symptoms?" Regardless of. If those symptoms are like the stuffy nose or throat or whatever it is, and you know he has to say like, yeah, I actually still can't taste stuff, so and then they can decide from that. I don't know. I feel like he has to have told the producers. I feel, and then in turn, Padma and Tom must know. But
this week, my goal is to find out via Twitter if Jackson's on Twitter. I'm going to see if he. We'll answer the question directly for us.
That's great.
Let's see if we can find out.
Yeah. Right. That sounds fun.
Do they ever have any challenges that are based on smell or taste?
Yes. Like
create something based on. Okay.
There's one there where it's literally you're blindfolded and you have like 60 seconds or 90 seconds to identify 12 things by taste. Gotcha. And it's purely a taste test.
Yeah.
They do that maybe like once every, three or four seasons, Haley?
I would say every other season at this point, and like within the last 10 seasons, probably every other season. It's a really fun challenge because I like seeing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time we had one. I'm kind of hoping that we get one just so we see how Jackson reacts to it.
Yeah. Right. Like, there's no way these reality producers aren't throwing one of those in here.
Yeah.
So we see Jackson, Buddha, and Evelyn in the top. Evelyn winning. She was really excited. This was the same top as we had last week?
Evelyn Buddha Jackson. Evelyn Buddha Jackson, yes.
Back to back.
And Evelyn winning as well.
Yeah.
Good for them. I'm really enjoying what they're doing.
And we had Ashley and Monique on the bottom. The only difference here is that instead of Joe being on the bottom, it was Luke. So it was almost a direct repeat of last week.
Yeah. I'm enjoying Jackson a lot more than I thought I would. I'm getting very Brian from Top Chef Kentucky vibes from him. He's just like a tall dude who's like funny. And I just am really enjoying him.
Yeah.
And then in the bottom, we see Ashley, Luke, and Monique. And my husband the entire time was like, Ashley has immunity. And I was like, she must not. She must not have immunity. But they put her in the bottom. No, she did have immunity. They just wanted to like, give her the feedback, which I think is completely fair. And if I'm in that position, I think I want that feedback as well.
Because I think there have been times where they'll bring up the bottom three and then they'll look to the judges who are still, or the contestants who are still left
on the
side.
You would have been here if not for immunity.
It's Bill, it's a good thing you had immunity or you would have been up here with these bottom three. And so it's interesting when they choose to do that and when they don't.
Yeah, for sure. Like I think if they had done this, Joe would have been in the bottom instead of Ashley.
Yeah.
But I think they are kind of going in a way of like, no, we actually want to improve you being a great chef.
And maybe there was like a big enough gap between Ashley and Joe where it's like, it would have been like Joe's wasn't egregiously bad enough to put in the bottom. So let's do it this way.
Yeah. Maybe it was a situation where, you know, since Ashley did just go home, I was like, okay, if Ashley does not have immunity next week, then this, you could be going home, like if you were in the bottom again. So we need to this really needs to be a wake up call for you.
For sure. And unfortunately we lose Monique here. We're splitting up the couple and I'm devastated. I love Monique, but I love Monique and I'm sad to see her go.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you notice Jackson like hit Damar when Monique came back in and like was like, oh, it's me.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Jackson tapped his arm.
I completely when watching this episode forgot about like being on Modar watch. Momar Donique, whatever. Because I did not pick up on any of this. And now I kind of like I'm upset that I deleted the episode from my DVR because I kind of want to go back and say, I'm not gonna be able to look for those little signs anymore.
Yeah,
I know.
Unless they are both in Last Chance Kitchen, like in the peanut gallery.
Oh, right. Okay. I can't wait for next week when LaTonya comes with a dissertation.
Yes.
Of like all of the cute moments.
Timestamps.
Yeah, and she'd be like, okay, this and this and that. I cannot wait for that.
She pulls down. She's got like this bulletin board behind her, little red cords connecting scenes from
like slow mo GIFs. Somehow she's printed out. Yeah, I can't wait.
She's like, this time it needs to be on video because I have a presentation.
Yes, yes, I cannot wait for that.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So Monique heads to Last Chance Kitchen, where she meets up with Sarah.
Yep. I'm thinking this might be one of those instances, Asia, where somebody who is relatively early, I could see Sarah basically going on, just going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
In this round, because there was the whole broth fiasco with Monique and all of it going to Nini and nobody else getting any. So of course the Last Chance Kitchen Challenge is about broths, and they had to make a composed dish that includes a flavorful broth. And Tom also wanted a little shot glass of broth on the side, so he could taste the broth separately.
I would go to bars more if I had shots of broth.
Shots of broth.
Yeah.
I think that's a great name. That's a great name for a food truck. Shots of broth. Sarah made a breakfast bacon broth with poached egg. It was based on a ramen dish that she often had for breakfast, but she didn't. She kind of did it without the ramen. The squash hash that was in there was supposed to kind of swap in for the noodles. But yeah, breakfast bacon broth with poached egg, toast garashi instead of togarashi, I mean chilies and spices, and a squash hash. Whereas Monique made a sinigang with tomato, onions, ginger base, and shrimp stock. And it sounded like I was a little bit worried at first. Like I'm kind of, even though Monique is on my draft team, I'm rooting for Sarah as a Michigander. But it sounded like at first I thought Tom was like, well, there was no ramen, where's the noodles? But he liked both dishes, but Sarah edged it out in advances within Last Chance Kitchen.
Watching Sarah in Last Chance Kitchen just makes me so disappointed she went out so early in Top Chef, because I love her so much.
She's like, got so many great sound bites.
Yeah, she's just like a great personality and she's fun to watch. And, you know, it's funny, she said in this episode, like, this is more my wheelhouse. I'm enjoying this more. poor Sarah. I love her.
We've seen in previous seasons some chefs thrive a little bit more in the one-on-one matchups versus the big competition. Mm-hmm. We'll see how much longer she can hang out. We're down to 9 in the main competition now.
Mm-hmm.
Usually someone comes back around 4, I think we've seen.
Yeah. And do you think we're going to get another double elimination down the road?
Maybe.
Or like a sudden death quick fire. We haven't seen one of those in a while.
I'm hoping not. Ooh. The sudden death quick fires are kind of like, ugh, they always leave a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
I guess that's one way to do a double elimination episode without it necessarily being a team-based elimination.
Mm-hmm.
So the sudden death quick fire is exactly what it sounds like for those who haven't seen it before, is they have a quick fire challenge. Instead of simply there being a winner who gets immunity and a prize, the person who actually does worse than the quick fire goes home.
Wow.
It's never fun.
Yeah.
But the...
Oh, man.
And then, so I'm guessing we're still going to have Restaurant Wars at 8. Mm-hmm. So two more episodes until Restaurant Wars, which is always fun.
Two more, like one more episode and then Restaurant Wars episode.
Yeah, that's that.
Right. Yeah. So two. Yeah. Okay. Cool. We're on the same page. We're just reading a different sentence.
Yeah. I didn't convert to metric for you. So I apologize. 1.37 episodes.
So that's the episode. Asia, I can't wait. But I'm so excited that you're just going to keep watching Top Chef. So.
Yes. I mean, right. I've set it to record on my DVR.
I love this.
Yeah. We're good to go. Cause like Beyond the Edge, I had to cancel that.
I don't know
like,
how
I'm
you
not watching.
I can't even watch the commercials without wanting to like die.
I stopped after one episode. I couldn't do it anymore. The only drama is if they decide to quit. Like that's right? The worst. Like, why am I going to watch a show?
Oh, so they're all just there all the time.
That's how it was served up in the first episode. I don't know if it's changed up. It's for charity. And like, why am I going to watch a show that's predicated on the worst part of Survivor? People quitting. That's enough for me, Doug.
But yeah, I'm all in. I literally was so invested. So yeah, I can't wait for next week's episode. And just like every episode, I've been able to be like, oh, I know.
Yeah,
like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Like, I know that. I've seen that place. I've been there. And then it can open up, you know, my horizons to places I can visit if I don't know it. So, you know, trying Evelyn's restaurant and just seeing what else is out there. Maybe I can go back to the Blind Goat, try something different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Haley, you didn't bring up Padma's leather outfit for the quickfire. And her hair.
I was distracted by her hair. It was not one of my favorite Padma looks. Not one of my favorites.
I'm never the person to bring up the fashion. But for some reason, it reminded me of... So Asia, last season, there was an elimination challenge at a drive-through theater in Portland. And there were like five genres of... Like two people had to make dishes based on horror. Two on sci-fi. Two on action. So exactly like this challenge. Except with film genres instead of historically important women. Exactly. But the introduction to each genre was like a 10-second clip of Padma in like horror movie mode or in action movie mode. She's like there's so much going on because it's action or something.
Yeah.
So her outfit today reminded me of her in the action little clip that we had last season. So anyway, I just had to throw that out there.
So Asia, what have you been eating this week? Anything good? Ooh, anything great?
Yes.
Anything you're planning on eating?
Oh, okay. Honorable mention to Whole Foods. So I go to a place, the place where I go work out is called Spanga. And it's like right on the way home, I pass a Whole Foods. So I've started stopping there a little bit more just to, cause Whole Foods, I feel like I can't do a full grocery shopping trip there. It's just pricey. I'd rather do a full trip at HEB. Whole Foods, I'll go for specific things. Mm-hmm. And so they have these pre-prepared, like they'll marinate meats. And so this week I got some marinated steak. It was marinated. I think it was tequila lime. Steak or what was it? It was a specific type of steak. I can't remember, but I made that and then had some Brussels sprouts. So just put those. It came with like a seasoning from a Whole Foods and I, you know, baked that. So that was really good. Very delicious. And the week before I did that with chicken that had been marinating at Whole Foods. So it was like tequila lime as well. And then made like a side of, or actually made it into tostadas. So I made a tostada, made some rice, and then I had, it was like chicken thighs. So I shredded the chicken thighs and then put guac on top. But outside of that, nothing too crazy. Had restaurants that I normally go to. Like we have a really good Asian restaurant here called Rice Box that is just delicious. So I had the, what did I have? I had the cauliflower fried rice and then, it was the cauliflower. They have this thing called chow fun, which is just flat rice noodles. Mm-hmm. So I had that with cauliflower. just asking a lot of cauliflower, as we all do.
Really a supporting character in this week's meal plan.
Right. But yeah, and then this week doing HelloFresh. So I think I got 3 rice bowls, a variety of rice bowls.
Kurt, what did you have this week?
Well, I need to reactivate one of my, I like juggle between 3 different subscription boxes. So it's like, skip the orders as far ahead in the future as I can and then come back and just turn on the orders as I need them.
Oh, so
I
skip as far ahead as I can and then I forget and then it arrives at my doorstep.
Yeah. I need the, which can be okay, but not when you have potentially 3 coming to your door
from
3 different places.
There.
So as mentioned, like this past week, I was house sitting and pet sitting for the entire week. So it was a lot of takeout. Got a good set of, I think it was the crispy Brussels sprouts and cashew chicken from Cheesecake Factory. Did discover a local sub place called Boardwalk Subs that they do something amazing. Well, actually, the first time I went there, I said they do something amazing with their bread and I don't know what it is. But then I actually read their website. So like all of their subs are 15 inches. You can't get anything smaller. But then when they toast, if you want to get it, I think they call it rogued up. Like if you want your sub rogued up, what they'll do is they'll put oil and seasonings and Parmesan cheese on the bread and then toast it. But then because it's a sub bun, they'll flip it upside down. So like the flat toasted part is now up and it actually adds a lot of interesting flavor and seasoning into the sandwich.
I love that. That's great.
So that was really good. Otherwise it's a lot of like, oh, I ordered a pizza. Oh, I, you know, Detroit style. Oh, I ordered, you know, stop by Taco Bell. But I think I am going to the tiki place across the street from me opens in about an hour. And even though I had like a light, we'll call it a brunch. I had a brunch right before this, but I need now like a lunch.
Yes.
So I may go there. I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, they have a tiki passport where they've got like all 33 of their tiki drinks in a passport form for 2022. And you can get stamped. So what I'll do is I'll go there, I'll place a to-go order. I'll get 1 or 2 tiki cocktails while I wait, get my passport stamped. It's been a few weeks since I've had a stamp. So that's what I think what I'll do today is they open at 2. So that's my plan.
I love that for you. That sounds like a great plan.
Yeah. Good Sunday.
This week. Go ahead.
One more thing. It's the, cause I didn't have a lot to talk about food this week. I was going to talk about, the show Rat in the Kitchen on TBS.
Does Joel McHale host that or am I making that?
No, that's Kitchen Confidential, I think, what's the name of that? Crime Scene Kitchen.
Right.
Which is actually a lot of fun too, where they have to investigate a kitchen post baking to determine from the clues there what was made and then they have to recreate it. Rat in the Kitchen is like 6 people who have to compete in a 2 different challenges in teams and then they will rotate. It's like The Mole in that, like the one I watched from this week, they had to create this Eggs Benedict from like making the hollandaise sauce from scratch to, you know, getting the perfectly cooked egg. But they like start the dish, but then they had to make some sides too, but they start the dish, but then if they rotate, but one person in the kitchen is going to be sabotaging the dishes. and so Natasha Leggero, the comedian, she hosts it. And Ludo, can't remember his last name, is like the co-host that's the actual chef. So I think they're actually a really fun pairing. But yeah, just trying to kind of figure out, you know, oh, is this person inept? Or who actually did this to the dish? Like, why is this, like someone obviously swapped in salt for sugar or vice versa. So it's kind of, and it's each episode self-contained. So it's not like The Mole where it progresses over time.
Oh, so it's a different set of people each episode?
Yeah. Okay. At the end of the episode, everybody votes for who they think the rat is. The rat has been slowly acquiring funds in their bank over the course of the episode. If the chefs correctly identify the rat, they get to keep the money that's left. If the rat goes by not identified, they get the money that they had effectively stolen over the course of the episode through these cooking challenges. So fun recommend. It's not, you know, there's probably things they could do to tweak it, but I've enjoyed the 2 episodes I've seen. So I just want to put a plug in for Rat in the Kitchen.
That sounds good. You said it's on TBS?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Haley.
This week was like a kitchen or a fridge clean out week where it's like we were didn't want to go do groceries yet because we still had a few more things, but it was like getting to the end there. So I made the air fryer's been getting a lot of work lately. So I made some actually orange chicken using the air fryer. And then Ethan made the actual orange sauce and we had that with broccoli over rice. But one day all I just wanted vegetable. I didn't want anything. I just wanted, so I roasted sweet potatoes with cumin and chili powder and salt and pepper. And then I roasted some peppers and onions and then heated some corns and bean up in the microwave and just mixed them all together with some sauce on top. It was great. Actually would recommend if you're kind of like just trying to clear stuff out. I made some cookies this week. A couple of weeks ago, I went to Bulk Barn, which is, I don't know, you guys have like, you probably have like a equivalent to Bulk Barn where it's just,
I'm guessing Sam's Club.
Not, that's more like Costco.
Right.
This is more like tubs of stuff and you go and like fill bags. No. Cool. Okay.
Not
cool.
That I'm aware of.
I mean, I've been to grocery stores that will have a section where it's like, here's a tub of nuts. And you can like just like that, scoop in and
but put every a whole store. Store, they have like spices and seasonings and also like every kind of flour you can imagine, every kind of candy you can imagine, everything. It's like that. You just do it.
This is nothing but cakes. It's nothing but tubs.
Right.
Nothing but tubs. Yeah. Like you can get everything in this place. Anyway, I got some M&Ms, some pastel colored M&Ms, and I accidentally, because I don't have like a great sense of anything that involves numbers, so like I don't understand weight or volume, distance. So I had this jar on my counter that I wanted to fill with some beautiful M&Ms, so I filled up this big bag of M&Ms. I was like, this will be perfect amount. They cost $14. I spent $14 on pretty M&Ms. And I had like twice as many as was necessary for the jar. So I made cookies with them. I refilled. All right. And I made some cookies and they turned out well. And then last night we couldn't decide what we wanted for dinner. So we got takeout from our local barbecue place and it was great. And I can't wait to eat leftovers as soon as we're done this podcast.
Hey, there was a barbecue place that they actually were there as guests when I had brought them up. It was the episode 5 with Jay Bar M. I was like, oh, there's this black owned barbecue place that's right next to the cidery that I always go to. And I never tried it because I didn't know anything about it, but it's called Famous Barbecue. So F-A-I-N. So I think I'm gonna try that today for lunch.
Ooh, nice. Please report back.
Yes.
And I love the cidery idea. Like I've
been very into ciders lately.
Yes.
I'm gonna have one of those later today too. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes. They the one that's next to Famous is called City Orchard, and it's really nice scenery. Like I actually did like had some friends get together for my birthday last year there. Because the patio area is wonderful. I can take my dog, and they came out with this new cider. They just like as of April 1st, that is strawberry basil.
Ooh.
So yeah, I went and bought some cans of it and it's pretty good.
Nice.
So Asia, where can people find you on the internet if they want to read more of what you put on the internet or listen to more of what you put on the internet?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I've had a busy few days after just only doing Married at First Sight for a while. I mean, of course, Big Brother Canada here and there. But if you want to hear me talk about relationships, subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed. I'm talking about Married at First Sight every week with Jason Reed. We're talking about season 14 right now. We're right in the middle of the season. And then I'm also talking about the new Netflix show, The Ultimatum, with Mary Kukowski. We are dropping another recap of the next 4 episodes. So we already dropped a recap of episodes 1 through 4. We're going to drop a recap of episodes 5 through 8. And then we are going to drop a recap of the finale and the reunion that's coming out on April 13th. And so, if you want to hear me talk about those shows, they're wild. Subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed.
The Love is Blind coverage was amazing. And I like, it was great and I loved it so much. And it was like what forced me to watch the show. And then I love that show so much. And then I love the podcast so much. So I can't wait to watch the ultimatum.
Because the ultimatum is what they teased during the finale.
Exactly.
Like, it was like, yes. it was kind of a hard left turn during the finale.
You like love? Well, watch us destroy it. It's like Temptation Island mixed with Love is Blind.
It's like, well, exactly. We have one surprise for everybody here who's here on the reunion show.
Yeah.
We have a new show coming up called The Ultimate. I'm like, oh, stop toying with these people.
This one is just like, I've loved all the TikToks of like, this is the worst show I've ever seen. I need 7 seasons of it. But it's so good. Like, it's one of those you definitely want to talk to your friends about. So just come listen to the coverage. And then, yeah, like you said, Haley, we also have Love is Blind coverage. We cover season 2. And then they've already have seasons 3, 4, and 5, like, in the can. So we will be covering those. So keep a lookout. And then they do have a Love is Blind season 2 After the Altar that's coming out. Ooh. I don't know when they're dropping that, but I will be there to cover it. And so I also, you know, Big Brother Canada coverage. And then I also joined Rob for the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. I joined Rob on the Survivor Academy. So we gave some lessons to learn from this past episode of Survivor. And then I'll be joining the Dark Walk crew over on Post Show Recaps to talk about episode 6 of Bridgerton.
I'm so jealous. Can you just remind them to call me?
Yes, will do. I'll put in a good word.
Thank you.
But yeah, if you want to know anything that I'm up to, just follow me on Twitter and you'll see it there.
Kurt?
I don't have a whole lot going on. You can follow me on the Instagram and the Twitter and the I always mention Untappd if you wanted to see what beers I'm drinking. You can follow me at Kurt Clark on all of those platforms. Yes, that's with 2 C's. And
front and in the middle.
Yeah, one at the front of each of the 2 words. But when you put it together, it looks like the second one's right in the middle. It's funny how that works. Instagram, a lot of pictures of foods and escape rooms. And I think that's about it. Otherwise, like, occasionally you can find me over on, you can follow my Twitch channel, Kurt Clark, as well. But if on Tuesday evenings, 8 Eastern, if you go to twitch.com/DM Philly, then myself and several folks from the Post Show Recaps world, will be playing, D&D in space. And so that's always fun, playing with Rich and DJ LaBelle Klein and Grace Leader and whole bunch of folks. So that's always good fun.
What was the last escape room you did?
I did 6 escape rooms when I was in London on vacation.
Wow. Okay.
And the last facility had 3 rooms and they let me do them solo, but there was like hands on, like, white glove VIP treatment where, like, between rooms, they like took me up to this bar area for a drink and kind of debriefed me on like what I thought of the room.
Wow.
And they gave me,
like,
the history of the facility, and they gave me like extra time because there's a lot to do in these rooms for a single person. So what I thought was going to be like a 3-hour adventure was more of like a 4.5 to 5-hour adventure, just with the downtime.
Yeah.
And talk with everybody. So, and that was at Escape Plan in London. High recommend if anybody is doing rooms there. But
okay. Yeah. Cause I know that was our one commonality before coming on. I was like, I just know Kurt Clark loves escape rooms. We bonded over that. Right.
So yeah. I think right after we connected, I went to Dallas for New Year's and did several escape rooms there. So haven't been to Houston yet for escape rooms, but I've done several in Dallas.
We have a ton. I think I've done most of them here, but I am going to Amsterdam, Paris, and London in June. So I will be hitting you up for the name of those escape rooms.
I've got recommendations and warnings.
Okay.
I'm jealous of Amsterdam. There's some, what I've heard, there's some really good ones in Amsterdam, but yeah, well, we can connect.
Okay, perfect.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. If you want to check out what I'm reading, I actually did post a book review at the Strong Library.
Did you say accidentally? It sounded like you were going to say, you wanted to say actually, but you just accidentally, but you corrected yourself. Did you accidentally finish a book?
I did accidentally finish a book. I had an hour to kill while I was waiting for something, and it was like, well, I should read because I don't want to use up all the data on my phone. And I finished. And then I got like enough into the book where I'm like, okay, I gotta finish this book now before I go to sleep.
I think you'll appreciate this. When I had my trip to London, I was like, as an only child, I'm used to entertaining myself. So it's like, I'll take 5 minutes to pack my clothes and like 3 hours to pack my books and like the stuff I need to entertain myself. So I packed like 6 books to read. Like these 3 will be for on the plane. I'll put these 3 in my carry-on or in my luggage for when I fly back. I didn't finish any of the 6 books, but I managed to buy 4 more while in London.
Yeah, see, I don't bring physical books on trips anymore. I just use my iPad and like download That's something smart. On Kindle or use the Libby app through my library and do something like that. Because like I have been there. I can no longer bring books with me places.
Anyway, I interrupted you. Your library. What's your library Instagram again?
At the Strong Library.
The Strong Library. Okay.
If you want to hear more of my voice, I joined my co-host Amy and Zach Brooks and Brendan Fitzpatrick on the Movie Ladder this week. Yes, folks, I watched a movie. Shocking to all, I know. We watched Mamma Mia and had a great time. So check that out.
The first or the second? I'm assuming the first. Otherwise, you would have.
The first. Okay. Yeah. I had never seen it before. Yeah. I do love ABBA, though. So check that out. Other than that, you can pack your knives and head on out. Thanks for joining us, Aisha. This is great. I hope you come
back. Thanks for having me.
Bye.